In the feast a couple of years ago, I gave a split sermon about a story. A young man called Peter and his life growing up at the beginning of the millennium. His experiences living in the millennium under the kingdom of God compared to those of his great-grandfather and what he had remembered from the old world. Afterwards, several people came up and asked, is there going to be a part two? So last year, we picked up the story of Peter, who was much older, married, and we looked at Peter's life at the end of the millennium, the short period where Satan was released, and then the first few years of the last great day, when all of mankind was resurrected. Afterwards, a few people came up to me and said, is there going to be a part three, a conclusion to the story? So, here we go, part three. But when I come to the third section of this story, we have very little information provided about our final destiny. And this story is written from the standpoint that we have only been given glimpses of our stunning future that we have. As Mr. Bowles has used the analogy many times, we are like a baby in the mother's womb, trying to understand the world in which we are going to be born. And also in preparing for this, I've used a lot of Mr. Armstrong's material, the sermons, to ensure that I stay on track. But there will also be some speculation. And also, just as I go through, if I mention how many years ago something is from, it is from the standpoint of being where we are in the story, where we find ourselves. So Peter and his wife, Ruth, lay on the grass near the stream as they had done so many times before. With them was the family who, as God beings, they had been assigned to help and teach. Over the last 100 years, their lives of this family had totally changed. The broken family, the parents who were lost and crushed after their children had been killed in the old world, were now so close and loving, it was a beautiful family to see. The father had never known his father in the old world, but now he had a loving relationship and deep bonds with his mother and his father. The family unit that Satan had done everything to crush and extinguish was now just as God intended. Laying on the lush grass at dusk, and into the early night was a time that the family, along with Peter and Ruth, had spent many, many hours talking about the vast plan of God. Laying here now with the wildlife surrounding them, chirping in the background, and with their daughter, although much older now, still snuggling into the mane and fur of a huge lion that was next to her, they talked, discussing, and teaching. Peter and Ruth had been taught in and lived through the millennium, after everything had been re-established. Talking about how excellent is God's name in all the earth, how that great stone uncarved by human hands which Nebuchadnezzar saw smashing into that great statue of gold, silver, bronze, iron and clay, now was prophesied that kingdom encompassed the whole world. God's government had enveloped the whole earth in the millennium. And during that period, every aspect of life was brought into obedience under the law of God. Business, agriculture, architecture, true education. Education that had been taught and enforced in this current 100-year period. Looking up at the huge universe above, the glistening stars, Peter continued talking and discussing Psalm 8 with them. See how God has set his glory above the heavens. Consider the heavens, which are the work of God's fingers. The moon and the stars, which he has ordained and placed in the heavens. That man, even though he is created a little lower than the angels, has the most incredible future. And that God has given him dominion over the work of his hands. God has put him all things under his feet. Just like the earth 7,000 years ago, God had not created all of the other planets and the universe in vain. Turn, please, to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we see that it was not created as desolate. Romans 8. And just cutting in mid-flow. For the creation was subject to fertility, not willingly. Romans 8, verse 20. And dropping down, the creation itself will also be delivered from bondage of corruption. For we know in verse 22 that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Just as God created the earth and placed Lucifer and the angels under him to finish the planet with splendor and wonder ready for mankind, the universe was not created in a state of decay that we now see above us. But it was created in a stage ready to be completed. Satan's rebellion resulted in the finishing of that creation being delayed billions of years. The recreation of the planets and every part of the universe will soon be starting. And soon this next stage of God's plan would be unfolding before them, when mankind would finally be able to boldly go where no man had gone before. In the old world, man had always desired to get into space, to rule space, but he had only ever intruded into a small, microscopic part of it. Man had strived vainly to change or protect the human body to withstand the environment of space. However, mankind was not qualified to rule space back then. God's plan involves changing men's minds, qualifying them to rule, then creating for them spirit bodies thoroughly equipped for Earth or space. Space was not going to be conquered by spaceships, as man had once thought. Not through political or military might, not even by private enterprise, but by the very power of our Creator God, who will change those who overcome human nature into the very sons of God. And this is what has been happening over the last 1100 years, through the millennium and the last great day period. Mankind is being taught how to qualify to overcome human nature and how to rule space as members of the God kingdom. Just like those who entered into the millennium or who were born into it, as Peter and his wife were, those resurrected in the white throne judgment period were taught God's ways, taught to live in accordance with the way of give, not the way of get. Teachers, not human teachers with flawed understanding and knowledge, but God beings who themselves had qualified, were assigned to everyone who had been resurrected, to work with them and to guide and mentor them through the whole 100-year period. Peter recalled the joy which had been there when everyone had been resurrected. The young children of that family and their parents and their grandparents, he and his wife Ruth had been assigned to teach and guide. The vast majority of people who were resurrected had similar stories, pain, suffering from the old world, sickness and disease, wars, famine, hatred, envy, pain and sorrow. Despite having lived for 6,000 years ruling themselves, mankind had totally failed to govern himself in a way that brought happiness. They excelled under Satan to rule in unhappiness, which culminated in the tribulation. Since being resurrected, one thing has become very evident. At the time, as time progressed, was that the problems that mankind thought were so important and which had led to so much pain and suffering didn't seem so important anymore. Yes, there was still human nature there, but the satanic broadcast had been terminated permanently. We saw back in Revelation 20, verse 3, at the beginning of the millennium, that Satan was cast into the bottomless pit and shut up. And a seal was set upon him so that he could deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. And dropping down into verse 10, after he had been released, and the devil who received them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Just as at the beginning of the millennium all those years ago, when Satan was restricted from deceiving the nations, he was now totally bound for all of eternity, unable to influence anyone ever again. Peter turned to the young man that was once the young boy reunited after he had been killed. You asked me many years ago, when you were still a child, why God raised all the bad people from the dead, like the ones who started the wars, as well as the good people. You asked, why would God raise such horrible people? Back then, I told you the answer to the question, that most of everyone who had ever lived hadn't even heard of Christ, let alone the true Christ that we know and who reigns. They had not been taught his true gospel, the very kingdom of God. Everyone, the whole world, was deceived by Satan, as mentioned in Revelation 12, verse 9. And they had been used by Satan to try and wipe mankind off the face of this earth, because they had taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can you now see why God raised everybody from the grave? And the young man turned and answered Peter, "Took me a while to understand, and at first I was scared that they would do the same thing again. But I have learned so much in the 100 years. I have seen the people who we once thought were bad people were just like everyone else. They had been totally deceived by Satan into doing what they did. Looking back, the people who committed the worst atrocities have actually been easier to work with and teach once their minds were opened and God was working with them. Once Satan's broadcasts were not there and they had been resurrected, they could see just how much pain and suffering that they had caused in the old world. God's teachers have continued to teach mankind how to bring every thought into captivity, no matter how deceived they once were. It has taken many, many years working with the billions raised, but God and his spirit children have been patient with us, showing great mercy to everyone, and they have taught us all by example. As Isaiah said in chapter 30 and verse 20 and 21, it's a scripture that we know very well. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. Cutting in halfway through. Yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Our teachers have been near at hand, and we have seen them and interacted with them. Not like some government official in the old world, in some faceless building somewhere. This government is here helping us and teaching us. They have taught us the way whenever we strayed from it, no matter what we were doing, as we worked, as we socialized, or as we worshiped together. Peter turned to the young man and continued, but despite all of this, there are still some, a very small number of humans who seemed to stubbornly refuse to change and repent. It was impossible to tell all those years ago who would overcome and who would refuse, because mankind, as you once were as a young man, you look on people with human eyes. But God, he looks at the heart, and those in the God family teaching and seeing can turn the heart. See the heart, sorry. As in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. God can't and won't be fooled into giving eternal life to anyone who refuses to change, who refuses to obey their very Creator. Even though every man, woman, and child who has ever lived now has been taught about God, taught about his laws, seen the utopia that the earth has been for 1100 years, but there are still some who just won't submit fully to his rule. Mankind has been given the choice to take of the tree of life and fall under God's authority and government, or continue to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Revelation 20 and verse 13. Just cutting into it. Everyone who was resurrected in the last great day is to be judged, and they were judged each according to their works. The works in their resurrected life in the last great day period, judged on how they have overcome their human nature period, now that they have been taught God's laws and God's ways. See whether they have repented now, and that they have been taught how to live in accordance with God's ways. At the same time as this is happening, there are those not found in the book of life, those from the old world who had once been baptized and accepted the sacrifice of Christ, who had received the Holy Spirit and then rejected it. Rejected it so completely that they commit the unpardonable sin. They too are cast into the lake of fire. Physical mankind must master, rule, and overcome human nature. Human nature is pulling us towards vanity, self-centeredness, lust, greed, envy, and hatred. Hostility towards God and God's authority over him. It pulls man away from what produces, pulls man away and produces unhappiness, pain, suffering, and evils. He must have this nature replaced by God's nature, the attitude of humility, living faith in God, obedience to God, and love to God, outgoing concern for neighbor. He must have the desire to serve, to help, share, not to take for himself, concerned only for himself. In man's uneducated state, he produces only unhappiness and evils. He is not competent to rule space until he has learned property to rule himself. Any who refuse to repent are to be cast into the lake of fire, the second death. They won't burn and burn for all eternity, as was taught by the pagan religions in the old days. But in love, they will be consumed immediately. In love, they won't be allowed to live, because God won't allow anything to destroy his creation or cause pain and suffering to anything ever again, including themselves. And Revelation 20, just dropping down to verse 14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Death itself will be destroyed. When Christ had returned to the earth 1,100 years ago, the house of the Lord was set up, chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. It's in here somewhere. Every year the nations went up to worship. Micah 4 and verse 1. This happened from the standpoint of where we are over 1,000 years ago. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Each and every year since then, the nations have been going up to Jerusalem to worship their Creator, to learn of his knowledge. The government of God has been teaching them the ways of life. They have been learning how to walk in his paths. The nations have been going up to Jerusalem, to the temple where the healing waters flow out from the altar and under the threshold of the temple and turn into that great river which has healed the waters that had been totally killed in the old world. And that water had brought back life to the rivers and the seas and the oceans. And you can read that in Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. Peter turned to his wife and the newest God beings that were now with him. But now the temple which has stood there for 1,100 years is to be replaced. As it says in Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away." Because mankind now consists only of spirit beings, the physical world is to be replaced, and the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven, and our God will actually dwell with us on this earth. With great expectation, the whole family of God are about to see one of the most stunning and momentous events ever to have happened. Revelation 21 and in verse 10. "And the sons and daughters of God watched, cutting in the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descend out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gate, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, which is 1,380 miles equivalent. Its length, its breadth, and its height are equal. Verse 17. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its walls was like jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysospas, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God's illumination and the Lamb is its light." And dropping down to 25, "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night." In the old world, man had always strived to cheapen everything that it built. God is a God of quality. We had read about this event and been taught about it throughout the millennium and the White Throne Judgment period every year. But our physical minds back then could not comprehend the purity and the splendor and the beauty of the New Jerusalem. In the old world, man had played at designing towns and cities, but even the most beautiful and well-designed ones ended up failing and decaying. God and Christ are creators. They are master architects. And the city, which now where Christ and the Father lived, was pure in every single aspect and detail, and it would stand forever. Revelation 21, verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. How enormous is that to comprehend? As Isaiah said in chapter 65 and verse 17, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Just dropping down to verse 5 in 21, Revelation 21. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of waters freely of life freely to him who thirsts. Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he will be my son. In the old world, religions taught that God was a closed family, a trinity. But as we were taught through the millennium and the last great day period, the truth is so much more than this from that corrupted teaching. God has wanted a family. And with that family of God now complete, God is dwelling with man on earth. Earth is now the very center of the universe. Mankind had visions that once that we were with Christ, we would be sitting on a cloud somewhere playing a harp for all eternity. But not so. Our future as a very creator God being is almost too hard to grasp. We turn back to Romans 8, please. Romans 8, and in verse 19, For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was not subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who put it subject in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. The whole creation is groaning and laboring. Isaiah 51 verse 16 says, I have put my words in your mouth. Education mankind received throughout the millennium and the White Throne Judgment period was God putting his words in our mouths. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens. And this scripture is about to be fulfilled. God's end time apostle had spoken about this event back in the end of the old world on the day of trumpets in man's year of 1985. And he said, God intended the angels to try out on the earth first before they went to the other planets and the other places in our solar system. In our galaxy, called the Milky Way and other galaxies. This was the tryout, the Earth. He wanted them to work the Earth and beautify it and improve the face of the surface of the Earth and make it beautiful. Instead, they defiled the Earth. They ruined it and it went into a state of decay. And decay is not a created state. God cannot and never did create anything in a state of decay. Now, decay is not an original creator condition. It had become that way. Instead of improving the earth, the angels destroyed it, and they became demons. And Satan rebelled against the government of God. The government of God would have given them the way of teamwork, of working together, of cooperation, organization to produce a result. Instead of that, there was chaos, and they rebelled against God and against God's basic principle of government. Which is love. And they went into competition and strife and hatred and destruction instead of construction. Then in 6 days, God renewed the face of the earth from mankind, as you read in Psalm 103. God renewed the earth back as it had been before he put the angels on it. Then he put man on here, and he intended man to do what the angels should have done. He put man here to try man out, to see if he could do this earth. The idea being that if they could finish the earth properly, then they could go to all of the other planets and the entire universe and beautify it, and perhaps put life forms on all these other planets and the places in the whole vast universe that goes out further than any astronomer even knows. So he put man on the earth. That's the end of the quote. The recreation of the whole universe. The completion of God's wonderful design. What has been in decay for billions of years since Lucifer and his angels rebelled is soon to be finished. The billions of God beings who now exist will shortly be going out to finish what Lucifer despised. We have all been changed from mortal to immortal, from feeble flesh and blood to a spirit being. We have self-sustaining life inherent in us. We no longer need to breathe the air on the earth to exist. We no longer need food and water to sustain our lives. Our bodies do not need to be wrapped up in special suits to withstand the extreme heat and cold of space. God has equipped our bodies to rule under God, under the living Christ's administration of God's government, to rule the whole vast universe. Every one of us now has a creative mind of God, the creative abilities of God. Our minds can now fully comprehend the nature of the universe, the depth and glory of what is out there. We are still in awe of what our father and elder brother have done and created, but we also know the stars by name now. We use their proper names, not the old world system of alphanumeric designation. No, we call them by their real names. We can see and understand the words that uphold the whole universe. Our minds are no longer bound by the physical, feeble restraints we once had. Even the greatest mind back then could only scratch the surface and the beauty and the complexity that existed in the universe. As God being now, our minds can comprehend wonders and marvels, the molecules, the atoms, the nucleus inside, down to the subatomic level of the planks inside those. Our minds can comprehend that detailing from the minute right up to the whole universe. And the children of God are going out to finish, as instructed by our older brother and father, the whole creation that has been eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God. We are spending time designing, planning, just as Christ and God the Father did. They planned out the creation. It was not just an on-the-spur moment of impulse on what to create. The fulfillment of creating starts at the concept stage, the design stage, and flows right the way through the building, the doing, to completion in an orderly manner. Nothing is chaotic. Nothing is done in confusion, but fully planned out and set in motion. Our minds can comprehend the DNA, the genes, how they are mapped out, how they are programmed, how life is created and sustained. The minds and knowledge we have now are limitless. Turn, please, to Isaiah 55. Because we just see the enormity of our minds. Isaiah 55, in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't need to rely on such things we once used, such as computers, to help us with these designs. That sort of puny technology, even at its peak, is worthless. We can count the grains of sand on the beach and count the stars and call them by name. In the old world, astronomers tried counting the stars in the heavens, Man thought once that there were 10 trillion galaxies, each with 100,000 stars in each. One septillion stars we know by name. That's one with 24 zeros. Psalm 147. We see this. Psalm 147 and verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. All one septillion of them. Our human mind couldn't even comprehend something that big. But now, as God beings, we know them by name. How our puny minds back then were so limited. We are going out as a family, working in unison. We don't need to spend billions of years to travel at the speed of light to get to planets. Man's feeble mind could not comprehend anything faster than the speed of light, warp speed, based on the physical and limited to the physical. As spirit beings, we can travel at the speed of thought. Physical distances are no longer a restriction to travel. The planets, when we arrive at them, are in decay. They are without form and void. Darkness is on the face of the deep on the planets, just as the earth was 7,000 years ago when Christ recreated the earth. Throughout the universe, sons of God are saying, "Let there be light." And light is finally brought to the desolate planets, and we are seeing that the light is good. They are dividing light from the darkness, setting the planets back onto the proper orbit and rotation. They are creating day and night. And the God children are saying, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, dividing the waters from water." We are dividing the waters under the firmament from those above the firmament, creating the sky. We are creating an atmosphere around these desolate lumps of rock. We are saying, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it is. We are creating grass and herb and fruit tree. We are creating skies so that the firmament above the sky shines through to track time. Because the Sabbath will be kept no matter where you are in the galaxy. Animals of wonder and great sea creatures of the most amazing designs. Chaos and decay is being replaced with the most wonderful worlds as God had originally intended. Peter, his wife Ruth, and along with the God beings, will be creating for all eternity and enjoying the fruit of their hands. God does not get bored. He has no beginning of days nor end of days. The God family will live forever, living life to the full. We are bringing God's law and order to the universe. This is the most incredible human potential, a story which did not start 100 years ago with mankind being given the opportunity to be God beings. It did not start 1100 years ago at the beginning of the millennium with God's government encompassing the whole world. It did not start 3,000 years ago when our Savior came first time to this world and the subsequent sacrifice and the forming of his church. This story did not begin 7,000 years ago when man was put on the earth, nor did it start with the creation of the universe billions of years ago. It is the story of the most incredible human potential, which started before time began, before the angels were formed. The story of the God family has been planned by our father and elder brother from before time. And they have no end of beginning of days nor end of days. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah 9. Scripture that we have heard several times and we will hear several times again. You cannot get bored of what is inside this book. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice, from this time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.